Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon here, KY6V. We're going to be discussing old-time radio programs, some programs that you particularly probably enjoyed and remember, most of which are not with us anymore, but certainly on the archives. Gary, when he gets back, will be giving you some URL addresses that you might find interesting. That takes you back into the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. Hit songs, dynamic radio programs, such as Dragnet, and, you know, things of that nature. So that's what we're going to be talking about here tonight. Before we really get started in any gusto and I start taking check-ins, Kathy, you and I were talking earlier here today, and you just amazed me at your recollection of just a whole bunch of programs, and you rattled them off so fast you absolutely dazzled me. You started off with Beverly Hillbillies, and you just kept on going. Do you remember what you were thinking about at that point? And spit some of those out, because it may stir some of the interest of our check-ins tonight. Kathy, over.
Well, Gordon, I'd be happy to. You know, thinking back, you know, I'm younger than you, but I will be 64 coming up in May, and I remember the first TV my family had, black and white, of course, born in 49, and I'm not sure if it was not too soon after that. But I remember some of those programs where you didn't mind whether your kids were by themselves watching TV. It actually, you know, meant something. Some of the programs nowadays, you know, that's one reason I never turn on my TV. They're all those reality shows. But let me throw some of these programs out to each and every one of you and see if you remember them, if you've watched reruns of them. But, you know, they brought back a lot of memories to me. You know, I heard on the radio tonight a show was called Good Times. It was an African-American family. It was very, very funny. But they're actually bringing back a movie. I think they said 30 to 40 years after it was a show, they're going to bring back a movie, and I think it's this year. But Dick Van Dyke Show. The Beverly Hillbillies. I always loved that one. Green Acres. Andy Griffin. The Fugitive, a little bit different than those. But how about the Munsters? And I Dream of Jeannie. I live here very close to the, not too far from the Cape, so that brought back memories to me. Bewitched, you know, of the Good Witch. Brady Bunch. Streets of San Francisco, Gordon, that would be a good one for you. $6 Million Man. Let me drop it here for just a moment. How about the Wonder Woman? Love Boat. MASH, of course, we all love that. The Brady Bunch. And, you know, Bonanza, that was a fantastic one. Happy Days. You know, and I heard something today, Gordon, about her name was Valerie Harper. And she was the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was in that, and I understand she has terminal cancer. But I heard her say today she's not going to let it bother her. She's just going to keep going on. Starsky and Hutch. How about that? Eight is enough. Does that give you enough of them? Except I have one final comment to make, Gordon, and that is Peyton Place. And I think I told you this earlier today. That reminds me of my children in my classes. Peyton Place. Does that give you enough to talk about? Back to you, KY60.
Oh, my goodness gracious and sakes alive. It sure does, Kathy. Thank you, KY6V here for South Cars. Bewitched, I remember that program, but I remember more of the song. Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Okay, I'm going to take one quick standby here before I take a check-in list and see if we can get a status report from Gary. I've got a hotline going with him with a red phone, but I haven't heard any response on his status. Gary, well, I'm not going to turn it to you because you were there and you just disconnected, so the heck with you for the moment anyway. Do we have any check-ins to get this thing started here this evening? My name is Gordon, calls KY6V. This is the TIN episode that happens once a month here on South Cars. We'd love to hear from you. So give us your suffixes. We'll get a group together, and then we'll go through the calls. Over.
Lima, Victor, Quebec.
Lima, Bravo, Mike.
Hey, guys, I got you, too. Mr. Scotland, getting a little late over there for you, dude. It must be about 14 minutes after, well, I don't know. With the time change, I don't know anymore. Somewhere around midnight, maybe. LVQ and LVM, anybody else, please? All right, Mr. Georgia, stand tall, sir. We'll be right back with you. Mr. LVQ, good evening, Robert, over.
Well, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Kath. It's 11:15 over here. I was going to say, Gordon, was you one of the Brady Bunch? I remember that program very well, and I was over here in Scotland. In fact, everyone at CAF has mentioned, I have seen, and the only one I didn't like, well, two of them I didn't like, was Dallas and Peyton Place. The two programs I never watched. I watched a wee bit of it, and that was the end of it. But every other one, Wonder Woman, Starsky and Hutch, you name it, I watched it. That's before I got a hold of a radio. So I think that's going to start you off, Gordon. This is Mike Free, Lima, Victor, Quebec, in West Central Scotland, back to Nick Control.
Boy, you're sounding awfully chipper for, you know, 11:15, 11:16 in the evening over there. You know, I share your thoughts. I wasn't really taken with Dallas, and I certainly wasn't taken at all with Peyton Place. You know, you get enough of that in real life, let alone having them smeared all over a TV screen. Brady Bunch, I remember also. Before I turn it over here to Jim, let me ask you, how's the health department doing for you, Robert? You've been in and out for checkups, or are you good for another 150 years, or what, sir? Over.
Well, Gordon, at the present moment, I'm standing at 6 scans. From an MMR scan to a CAT scan, you name it, I've had it. And I've still got 2 to go. And then, in between those 2, I've got camera work to get done. I don't know if the NHS over here knows what they're doing. It's just one of those things, Gordon. You stick your head in the pot and take your luck. But, no, I'll just need to wait and see, Gordon. I'm a wee bit cheerier tonight because I've got 2 different tablets to take and it's eased the pain quite a considerable lot. I'm quite happy about that, but I'm just into the club. So, that was it. That's the update out on me, Gordon. I'll hand it back to yourself and I'll be here for a wee while.
Okay. Understand the total situation there, Robert. We'll talk about CAT scans sometime. I had some nasty situations personally while taking a CAT scan, and it all boiled down to the iodine that's put in the injection that they give you before they throw you in that round tube. But long as we all know about it, we can take care of it in a proper manner. Thanks, Robert. Let me turn up to Mr. Georgia. Good evening to you, Jim, and hopefully Rebecca is there in the background. Good evening to you, Mademoiselle. You two have been posted all over every website in creation here that, Jim, you'll be backing up the second hour on Saturday, and Rebecca will be doing her 15 minutes, and we're loud and proud and happy to have you. Go ahead, Jim, over.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I noticed that, WB4LBM here. And sure noticed that. And all the ones that
Kathy mentioned, I have certain memorable, oh, some of them I didn't care too much for, but they were there anyway. But my, actually, mine, history, wait a minute. I just lost the Super Bowl. Oh, Lordy. Anyway, was things that I remember mostly was the radio. That I enjoyed just as much or more than television, for obvious reasons, but the of course, the very simple reason is that I come from that era. By the time television got here, I just about done. I got up to the stage of my life that I didn't care much about television. Why should I watch it on TV when I could live it and grow it out? So, that's what I did, but. I was just listening to one of your favorites, maybe, and that was the Lux Radio Theater. And that might have been your favorite. It is from CBS, so yeah, it's a CBS show anyway. Good afternoon, or correction, good evening to you, and doggone it. Rebecca is right across the table from me. Over.
Well, stand tall there, Rebecca. I'm going to turn it to you here before we continue. Lux Radio Theater, yeah. I remember that very well and enjoyed it. And particularly since it was CBS. You know, I spent 50 years with CBS, Jim. In fact, my coffee cup has the CBS eyeball on it. So there you have it. Hey, Rebecca, good evening. What's happening on your side of the table? Over.
Oh, well, my side of the table is the process of getting the dogs under control. I have another one misbehaving, and I've got one misbehaving and another one being a tattletale right this moment. But anyway, oh, they got quiet. I'll take care of the mess in a moment. I'm sure there'll be one. You can count on it. Like children, they get quiet, you got problems. Them introduced me to one that I had a ball with, and that was Lum and Abner. And there was several that I had not... never heard. Well, but partially because they were from the 30s, and I wasn't around then during that time frame. But I've had a ball listening to these and finding out some of these things that Dad probably listened to while he was growing up, because he grew up in that time frame. And I have decided I'm going to choose a few selections of those and run them off on a disc for him to take a little trip down memory lane. And I don't know if I'll choose any of them that he has a clue about or not, but I'm going to try to, that's for sure. Anyway, I'm having a ball with it. This is KK4MOX. Back to you, Gordon.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca. KY6V here for South Cars. I remember Lum and Abner. Bring back some good memories. It wasn't on my list of thinking here until you mentioned it. I suspect that Jim also likes some of the earlier music, knowing that he is so musically inclined. You know, I enjoy listening to the big bands of the 30s and so on and so forth very much. The Dorseys and the Thises and the Thats and so on and so forth. So there's just a lot out there that's still available for everybody. Okay, I'm going to take a radio check on RMO, who is currently connected here. I'm not seeing any activity in the text box from you. Well, yes, I am. He says, I'm here with 4 exclamation marks. Does that mean, sir, that you're here with audio? Gary, let's hear from you. KY6V, over.
I tell you, I'm almost afraid to hit the button. Yeah, I think I'm here. The meter says I'm here, so I think we're getting out there. I'm not really sure what happened. Our lights flickered, and they just did it again. So I'm not really sure, but looks like we're connected. So our lights flickered a couple of times, and then I could see the folks on the list, but nobody could hear me, so tried rebooting everything, and finally we got there. So here I am. I'm on the backup. I'm backup machine. But nonetheless, we are here. So, Gordon, if you could kind of fill me in as to where we are, I will first of all thank you for being my backup and backing me up. And if you can get me up to speed, I'll take her over. It's KC2RMO. Back to Gordon.
Okay. Sounding good, sir. Lots of audio, too. You may want to back away from that mic just a little bit on that secondary machine that you're on, and then everything will sort of equalize. Well, we just got things started. We started off with Kathy, who just gave us an impressive list of her memory of programs that she was fond of, and boy, it was a long list. LVQ from Scotland checked in. He was favorite for the Brady Bunch and didn't like Dallas and Peyton Place worth a toot. And Jim came in, LBM, talking about one of his favorites being the radio theater that CBS put on. And his bride, Rebecca, was saying that she had been recently introduced to some of the old programming of Lum and Abner. And that sure brought back some memories. So we did not officially get into your script yet this evening. That's what's happened. You pick it up from there, and I'll be in the background, sir. KC2RMO from KY6V in South Cars.
It is always great to have you there in the background. It's even better to have you in the foreground, but knowing you're there when things blow up is a great thing to know. Thank you, sir, for carrying the ball. Well, good evening, everybody. I'll say hello right now, a little bit late, but we'll say hello. 30 degrees right now in Syracuse, and I'm watching the sunset out of the downstairs studio here at 121 Tasia after a dynamic one-night engagement at St. Joseph's Hospital on Syracuse's beautiful north side. All is going well, and we're here tonight to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is old-time radio and television shows, as you know that. You know the stuff that most of the stuff on the air and on the cable just doesn't do it for a lot of people anymore. Gordon had started to mention a couple of nets ago, we kind of got off topic, and we were starting to talk about old television and radio shows, and we kind of thought about it and said, well, this would be a great topic for a net, so this is why we're doing it. Talking about shows like Suspense and Jack Benny and how about Route 66, and of course everybody loves Lucy. Everybody enjoyed that conversation. We're here tonight to kind of expand on that. Of course, Gordon, if he hadn't told you or if you didn't know, certainly knows his stuff about the early days of television and as he was there to help get things going for that. We'll have some links to show you, too. I don't know if we put those up yet or not, but if not, we'll put those up as well. As far as where you can access old-time radio and television shows. And I'm going to buy a nickel here for a minute. So if you're one of those people who thinks TV looks great in black and white and can remember when radio really was the theater of the mind, this net is for you. We're taking check-ins right now. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about old-time radio and television tonight on the TIN, and this is South Cars.
Sierra United November.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, we have SUN and VXP. Anybody else for a check-in right now? Not right now, so we'll go ahead with Kathy, K6, SUN. Come on in, please.
Well, good evening, Gary, and I'm glad the gremlins didn't carry you away up there in New York. But I talked about some of the great programs when I was growing up. And those, you're very close to my age, you know. I gave Gordon quite a list of, you know, the shows that we didn't mind our kids watched. One I never liked, along with the LVQ, was Peyton Place, but I told Gordon that that's what my students remind me of. But I have a question for you and of Gordon as well. I've watched a lot of the programs, you know, during the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. They were very warm, friendly, and family-oriented. Nowadays, they are sitcoms, they're reality shows, something that I don't want to watch. I'm not sure if I'd want my children to watch. And I don't remember some of the children's programs when I was growing up. But I right now would like to hear a little bit about old-time radio, because I don't remember too much with that. So I would like both you and Gordon to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, I had quite a list of these shows, and, you know, we don't see these anymore. And, you know, I've lost the interest in TV because of that. Just good family shows. And so with that, I'll turn it back to you, Gary, but at some point, I want you and Gordon to talk about radio. And thanks so much for coming aboard this evening, Gary, and being there, and finally letting those gremlins get out of your radio. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to our net control.
I had to get out my book, The Ham's Garden of Voodoo, to get rid of them, but I did. Crazy night here. I know that rarely happens. We live in an area of the city that has very few power interruptions, but and the wind's not even blowing, so I have no idea really what caused it. But the lights were going up and down, and I was not having much fun with that. But we got it all straight, and that's the main thing. A couple of things, Kath. Yeah, I would love to go into that subject, since that's like one of my all-time favorite things in life is old-time radio. I'm the same way, and I think most people listening to this net are too. That you know, TV is just god awful. It really is, and you're right. Reality shows and sitcoms, and it's just plain dumb. Is what it is. It's not even entertaining. It's stupid, and I have no idea how it got that stupid, but it managed to. I'm going to buy a nickel. A couple things before I go into that, into the old-time radio, I wanted to touch on a couple of things that I didn't get on the last break. CBS Radio Mystery Theater of the Air was a terrific redo of the old time radio shows, the old mystery shows like Suspense and stuff like that. Phenomenal amount of production that went into that, and some really good talent, some Broadway people and some movie people and radio and television people acting for you. It was great. We're going to go into the history of that a little bit later on. Dallas, oh my God, I hated that show. I really did. I don't know how that thing lasted that long, and I was glad to see it go. And Lum and Abner, yeah, they had the and I believe it was the Jot 'em Down Store, I think that's how they opened it. They would answer the phone with the Jot 'em Down Store. But to get back into you where you were going with your question, Kathy, was old-time radio. And that is something I really do like. And what made it so special, what gave it that uniqueness that I think a lot of people crave, was that the audio medium required you to paint a picture. All right, everybody saw the same thing a little differently, but everybody saw it vividly. And that was created by a couple of things. Now, by a nickel. You had great scripts, You had sound effects that were very creative and helped you paint that picture. You had to pay attention to what was going on too. It wasn't like you sat in front of a screen and just got bombarded with whatever the heck they were throwing up there. And throwing up might be a good choice of words, but whatever they were putting up there. It really and truly was a whole different way of assimilating the information and assimilating that entertainment. It required you to think a little bit, and it required you to imagine a little bit. So I think that's the big deal with it. I think that's what really makes it stand apart from media that we see today. Does that register anything at all with you, Kath?
Yes, it sure does, Gary. And I have television. I'm looking at it right now, but I very rarely turn it on. I watch the news once in a while. I look at the red dots on it, but nothing on there really interests me. And I think it's because I hear what my kids talk at school, on the programs that are there, and it's just not something I have an interest in. I like those old programs, and that sort of tells you my age, I guess. But I guess I just as soon be quiet, maybe listen to some soft music or listen to some of the radio. But I didn't do much with the old-time radio, and I sort of missed that, maybe. But I do listen to some of the old songs on the radio station I listen to. I think it's called Oceans, if I recall. A lot of the old songs and the old talk shows. So I enjoy listening to that. But thank you so much, Gary, for coming back aboard. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other people have to say. But, some of these shows that we listened to way back when, Gary, when we were so young, and teenagers and in our 20s and 30s need to come back so we think with our mind, I guess. But thank you so much. And hopefully I'll listen and come back aboard. And I'm glad your system is back. And once again, I want to just put a congratulation out there to your lovely wife for completing her student teaching and getting on with her life. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Gary. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to our net control, KC2 RMO.
Yeah, she deserves a big round of applause. It was actually 10 years of a lot of effort concluded today, and she's ready to go out into the world now, and after a couple of tests anyway, and do her thing. So it's great, and I'm very proud of her, and I know anybody who knows her is too. It's really super. Yeah, it's a big achievement, that's for sure. You were talking about, Kathy, some of those shows, and Gordon had said too that you had a list. I had made a list last night, when I was putting this thing together, some of my favorites. And let's see how well this jives with what you had had, with what you had, and with what other people might have on their list or the list that's in their head. I had Dragnet, both on radio and TV, Suspense, Jack Benny, Stan Freberg, who is a very interesting character, and we'll get into him a little bit later on. Adam 12, Emergency, the CBS Mystery Theater, Radio Mystery Theater. Route 66, which I was watching a little bit earlier today, actually. The Twilight Zone, Gunsmoke, both on radio and TV. Oddly enough, Industry on Parade, which was a filler show that they used to run like at 6:30 in the morning, but it sparked enough of an interest in me and to get me interested in manufacturing and technology. Bob and Ray, Fred Allen, and NBC Monitor, which was a very unique program too. So we'll talk about those at length later. But we've got other people to get to. And VXP, Rick, you've been waiting patiently. Come on aboard, sir. We'd love to hear from you.
This is N1 VXP. I don't mind waiting. You guys, you and Kathy mentioned quite a few shows I'm familiar with, but I also remember growing up watching Peter Gunn, Half Gun Will Travel. Of course, everybody in the family had to watch Bonanza. I can remember a very young age, Andy's Gang, Andy Devine, and when Wagon Train came out, it was really good for my whole family seemed to like that one. Of course, my mother had to watch I Love Lucy. And then there was one I call it a kids program. I remember Art Linkletter. Every afternoon as soon as we got home from school, they happened to have it on TV, and we had to sit there and watch it and really enjoyed it. Arthur Godfrey, I'm going through a list of mine. George Burns and Gracie Allen. I think there was a TV game show called, I think it was called Bet Your Life, if I'm not mistaken. And then there was the usual ones, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone, Sky King, Lassie, Ozzie and Harriet. So I've had quite a I could write the whole list down, and I'd be there rattling them all off, but really miss those type of shows. But, of course, then again, some of the game shows, they first came out. I vaguely remember watching them, but I don't remember the names right offhand. But I always think that the old-time TV, I think one thing with the radio, you probably could not use a surround sound system with the TV with the radio programs and get the same effect. It was the type of audio on the speakers that you had that really made the difference. Not really much else. Probably have more later. KC2RMO N1PXP.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Boy, did you hit some good ones there. Wow, I was listening to you talk. And I'm saying, yeah, how could I have forgotten those, you know, because there were some awesome ones there. Peter Gunn, I remember very well. There were a lot of Private Eye shows on in the late 50s and early 60s. Peter Gunn was one of those. There was 77 Sunset Strip, I remember that one, and probably a couple others that I'm forgetting right now. Those were great shows, though. Used to watch those a lot. Have Gun Will Travel was Richard Boone as Paladin. And I remember they'd show his card, and it would say something like, Have Gun Will Travel. I think that was on his business card. And down below where the today's phone number would be, was the legend Wire Paladin San Francisco. And for the longest time, you got to remember, I was a kid back then. I thought his first name was Wire. You know, like, well, that's a really weird name, you know. Until one of those days I figured it out, and I said, oh, that's not really what's going on there. Andy's Gang was awesome. I remember that. Andy Devine with Froggy the Gremlin, and Andy would say, Froggy, plunk your magic boinger, and Froggy would pop up in a puff of smoke, and I'm going to buy a nickel. And You Bet Your Life, which was one of my favorite shows, brought to you by your DeSoto Plymouth dealer. It was with George Fenneman as the co-host, and George Fenneman was a great announcer, just an awesome announcer. He did a lot of radio work too. If you like listening to the old Dragnet radio shows, George was the announcer on those, and did those commercials for Fatima cigarettes very well. Very smooth guy. Very, very smooth sound to that guy. He was a good guy. Yeah, he did some good stuff. But the star of You Bet Your Life was Groucho Marx, and he was hilarious. He was absolutely hilarious, and just a degree of intelligence that you just do not see in media very much anymore. He was quick. He was absolutely just knock you on the floor funny. Kind of a wise guy too, but did some awesome stuff. So I remember that show vividly. I love that show. And, of course, out of the blue of the western sky comes, Sky King. Just a staple. You couldn't do Saturday morning without that. That was some terrific, terrific stuff. So thank you, Rick. There's some great memories in that. There really was some awesome things to think about. And I hope you'll come back a little bit later, and we can maybe pick up on that too, if you can remember any more. If you're just joining us, we are talking about old time radio and television shows, things that we all grew up with, or many of us grew up with anyway, and things we still cherish today. As many of us have said, we really, don't like what's going on in the modern media. Thank gosh, there's a whole lot of available old-time radio and television sources. You can go to Hulu. You can go to YouTube. We're going to put some links up too in a little bit in the text box as to where you can access some of the old stuff. It's just great stuff, and a lot of us just can't get enough of it. So if you're one of those people that crave the stuff that went on before, we'd love to hear from you right now. We're taking check-ins on the TIN.
And it must be howdy-doody time. KW4, my Charlie Bravo.
I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Name of Bravo Mike.
Oh, George, how can I forget howdy-doody? If I can remember Sky King, how can I forget howdy-doody? It is howdy doody time, so come on aboard. LCB, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, good evening, Gary. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. I took a nap, and for some reason, this thing keeps timing out, so I didn't hear these get started, so I'm here now. Oh, mercy me. I watched a little bit of TV in my younger day there, but and that was usually after 9 o'clock. But my grandmother, she used to love that Phil Silver show, and quite a few other ones that was mentioned there. But my mom, she was like to listen, and later on, some of these soap operas, As the World Turns, and all these other ones there, Our Gal Sunday, and mercy me, a whole lot there. But you know what? One program was pretty special to us, and I use a lot in times. Welcome to my neighborhood, Mr. Rogers. There, he had a heck of a program for kids there, and a whole lot of people used to say different things. But that was one heck of a man. He earned quite a few honors through his service. Him and Captain Kangaroo. Just to mention a couple there, there's a few more there, but maybe we'll come back and add a few more later there, but someone else might want to get in there and say something. So what can I say? It is a wonderful day in my neighborhood, and I sure hope it, you're having a wonderful day in yours. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
George, it is starting to become a wonderful day in the neighborhood. We got all the gremlins fixed here. I don't know if you were aboard earlier, but we had some technical difficulties and things kind of blew up, but we got them all back together. And it is great to hear from you. And you mentioned a couple of things they're so obvious. I think they're so much a part of you. It's like, how can you forget it? You're just assuming that it's already there. But Captain Kangaroo, for gosh sakes, Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Wizard. Do you remember Watch Mr. Wizard with Don Herbert? Again, he'd do those science experiments, and everything was live, and sometimes things didn't quite go right, we'll have to redo this and all this, yeah. But great stuff, boy. He was both of those were awesome, and Mr. Rogers, how could you not like Mr. Rogers? How could you not like Fred Rogers? He's probably the most likable man in the universe. And I pulled him up on the screen here, just a quick bio on him, or just a couple of quick tidbits about him. Fred McFeely Rogers was his name. He was an American educator, a Presbyterian minister, a songwriter, an author, and television host, perhaps most famous for creating and hosting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which featured his gentle, soft-spoken personality and directness to his audiences. And I think that's what made him so special, was that he could talk one-on-one to kids, and he was never talking down to them. And I think that's what endeared him to so many kids. All my kids grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and I think you just instantly connected with the guy. Just a wonderful human being, and unfortunately we he's no longer with us. But he died in 2003, so he's been gone for a while. But a very wonderful man, and he influenced the lives of a lot of people. That's for sure. So George, yeah, I hope you come around later. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll move it along. Oh, I did want to mention before we go to the next thing. You mentioned Phil Silvers. That was Sergeant Bilko. Sergeant Bilko. Let me buy a nickel. And Sergeant Bilko was kind of an operator. You know, he was always trying to pull a fast one on somebody, and there was some good stuff. He was on for quite a while, actually. I remember that. As a kid, I remember, I guess his sidekick, and if somebody can help me with this, or if somebody remembers, let me know, or let me know if I'm right anyway, but I believe the sidekick or the guy that he had a lot of contact with in his unit was a Private Doberman. I guess Private Doberman was kind of a just never got anything right or something like that, and he was kind of the one who always kind of messed things up for the sergeants. So if you remember that, sure would like to hear from you. But in the meantime, we'll move it along to LBM. LBM, come on in, Jim.
Yeah, I remember that before LBM. I remember Private Doberman. He's kind of the forerunner of on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, yeah. He's got a forerunner to Gomer Pyle. But anyway, I was thinking of two things that we mentioned here. One of them was Groucho Marx and You'll Never Get Rich. And he certainly never did get rich on that show. He got sued twice. One time it wasn't too bad, but one of them really took him to the cleaners. And I wonder if anybody remembers what statement he made on live television that got him in trouble on that one. But it was a good one. The Captain Kangaroo. Did anybody know who Captain Kangaroo was before he was the captain? WB4LBM.
Hey, Jim, thank you. Those are great. Those are awesome. I'm going to take a stab at them, but I'm not going to ask for an answer right now. I want other people to come on in, too, and take their guess. But I do believe I know what Captain Kangaroo did before he became Captain Kangaroo. And I'm just going to ask the question, did Groucho's comment that he made on the air that got him in trouble have anything at all to do with a cigar? We'll turn it back to you, Jim.
Yes, sir. What did he give that man? One silver dollar. That's right. He sure did. And I don't know about the captain, but he was a very famous character before he was a captain, I'll tell you that. WB4LB, I'm going to go ahead.
I'll give everybody a hint, Jim, because I do know the answer, but I'll give everybody a hint, and then again, everybody has a chance when you check in. We'd love to hear your guess on either one of these topics. I'll give people a hint about Captain Kangaroo. He only spoke once in his entire career prior to being Captain Kangaroo. So let that be the hint, okay? And with that hint, we are taking check-ins right now for the TIN. We're talking about old-time radio and television. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to take a guess, too, about Groucho's comment or what Captain Kangaroo did before he became Captain Kangaroo, we'd love to hear from you now. This is South Cars. I'm KC2RMO, and George had a comment. George wanted to come back in for a comment, so we'd love to hear from you. So before we start taking check-ins, let's hear from George. George, come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Gary. On Captain Kangaroo, I don't know if this is it, but I know he was a Medal of Honor. He received a Medal of Honor, and... But a little story about Fred Rogers. One of my sons who has been passed now, and he was mentally challenged, and that was the first thing. He'd get up in the morning and sit down and watch his show. And for a long time, it was a year or so, he used to tell us what sweater Mr. Rogers would be putting it on. And Katie and myself and everyone else who knew about it couldn't figure out how he did it. And one day, he finally told us. And what he did, you know, Fred Rogers, every morning he would go put on a sweater that his mother had hand-knitted, and he would put it on. And at the closing of the show, he would take it off and put it back on the hanger, and he would put it in the back or behind the rest of the sweaters. He'd be a new sweater every day, you know, but we never figured out how Roy was figuring out which color sweater would he be wearing, and it would be the next in line. So, after years, we finally got that one through. I'm glad I ain't timed out. I've already timed out three times since I've been in here tonight, so I'm glad it's holding for the moment. KW4MI, Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
Hey, George, that's a wonderful story, and that's a wonderful memory, too, I'm sure, for you. And thank you for sharing that with us. That's pretty cool. It really is. Fred Rogers, just, you know, again, I honestly don't know how anybody could possibly not like him. And just all the awards he won and all the great things he did for kids, and just how he would, you know, I kind of wish, you know, Captain Kangaroo was great. I loved watching Captain Kangaroo growing up. But what Fred Rogers did was where he picked up where Captain Kangaroo started, I think. And again, you know, you could identify with Captain Kangaroo, but, you know, Captain Kangaroo, even as a little kid, you knew he was a character. You know, he was a character. He wasn't real. At least once you got old enough to realize that you did. But Fred Rogers was a real person, and he was really talking to you. And He was talking one to one to you, you know, just like you were a friend of his, and just amazing stuff. Something that I think people probably weren't. It was ahead of its time, you know, and just some great work he did, and some great things he did for kids. I see in the text box, Gordon thought maybe Fred Rogers was a Navy SEAL. I'm going to look that up during the course of the show, so we'll see if we can get that too. If we can find out the story behind the story on that one. I'm going to buy a nickel. And the topic tonight is old-time radio and old-time television, if you're just joining us. If you're wanting to check in, we'd love to hear from you. We have a couple of questions, too, on the table, one of which is what did Captain Kangaroo do before he became Captain Kangaroo, and also what did Groucho get in trouble for, which is an absolutely hilarious remark, too. So we're taking check-ins. We'd love to hear from you. I'm KC2RMO. This is the TIN on South Cars.
KA0GYF.
We're about to call back for our recheck.
Okay, had a couple that time. We had GYF and LVQ. GYF, go ahead, please, and join us on the TIN.
Unquestionably, one of the most talked about nets, this net about old media. I grew up in the Hollywood Hills of Los Angeles, and greater Los Angeles is where the Art Linkletter show picked the kids for the Art Linkletter program, the one that was called Tea Party. And KNXT, CBS, Television City, at Beverly and Fairfax called my grade school and said we need to pick four kids, and I got to be one of those kids. So I guess that was about 1958. I was an Art Linkletter kid. They made me a copy on a 78 RPM record. And I think I still have a 78 RPM record player. So I was one of those Art Linkletter kids. And I think on Phil Silvers, I think Doberman had a singing voice. And every now and then he would sing on Phil Silvers' show. Does anybody remember that? Wow, what a great show we're having tonight. Thanks so much for having me. This is Doug in Fort Myers, KA0GYF. Tell me about that. Does anyone remember Doberman singing? He had a beautiful voice. Over.
Hey, Doug. It's great to have you aboard. And, wow, I didn't... how could... This is amazing to actually meet... one of the Art Linkletter kids. This is terrific. That must have been just such a cool thing. Do you remember how it felt talking to Art Linkletter? Was he impressive? Was he spooky? How did you feel when you talked to him?
He made unquestionably all these host type television media celebrities, they have a knack for making their guests comfortable, and that was Mr. Linkletter's knack, making the kids comfortable, otherwise he couldn't have done it for, you know, 20, 30 years, whatever he did. Now, my dad sold gasoline in Los Angeles, retail. So, when you're in Los Angeles, it's just movie stars and the celebrities, it's just no big deal, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, you live next door to them and stuff like that. So it was just no big deal. It was kind of blasé. But they picked me. I don't know why they did. I'm just an average-looking schmo. But they picked us up. You know, we rode the school bus to school. And then the KNXT CBS channel, the old Channel 2 analog, they sent a limousine to the school. And... picked up me and my three pals and took us to the studio, and we did our thing. And afterwards, they took us all to lunch at a fancy restaurant, a very fancy restaurant. Us three kids and maybe a teacher chaperone and some kind of person from the program. But for crying out loud, you know, that was 55 years ago, so I can't remember what I had for dinner, KU0GYF.
Hey, I'm exactly the same way. I'm lucky I can remember the last hour, you know. But what a cool thing, though. That must have been awesome. Of course, that show, everybody watched that show. That was just as, you know, you'd get up in the morning, you'd make some coffee, if you were at home, if you were then what they called a housewife, you would do your housework and probably have the TV on at that time. And if I remember right, and I could be wrong because, like I said, I can barely remember my own name, but if I remember right, I think Art Linkletter came on about either 2 or 3 o'clock on the East Coast anyway. Because I can remember, it must have been 3, because I can remember watching it after school. So and that segment that you were on was the segment that you always wanted to watch if you were a kid, because, you know, there were other kids there, you know. So that's just terrific. So great to hear from you, Doug, and I do hope you'll come back in again too. Maybe you'll say the darndest things. You know, you never know. LVQ, we had a check-in from you, and we'd like to hear from you, Mr. Scotland. Come on aboard.
Well, Gary, I'll say hello. I'm going to say goodbye because it's 8 minutes past 12 over here time. I was hitting the four poster. My two favorite shows were Bonanza and Have Gun, Will Travel. But I was brought up with radio, country and western style, and I still do listen to country and western style. The old stuff, not the new stuff, I don't like it. This rock and jazz, give me bluegrass and all the rest of it, but the rest of it can, well, you may as well put it in the fire, but I'm used to it. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. I've enjoyed listening to this. It's brought back a lot of memories for me, and I mean a lot. I'm away into my 70s. I'll be 72 next month. I hope you're listening, Kath. So I'm going to say goodnight, people, and we'll catch you all later on. This is Mike 3, Lima, Victor, Quebec, West Central Scotland. We'll catch you later.
Well, thank you very, very much, and I'm glad to have you aboard tonight. It was great to hear from you. You know, when I was in radio, and when I was the program director of a radio station, the station that I was program director of was a country music station, and that was many moons ago. But if you want to make me happy, play Waylon or the Giesen Slaw Brothers, and I'll be happy listening to that. That's just fine. But great to hear from you. So and wish you well, and hope we get to hear you down the road too. That'd be super. One of the things I was looking up here in the course of events, Gordon had earlier mentioned that he thought possibly that Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL. So in an effort to get the story behind the story and set things straight here on the TIN, I did a little quick research, and it appears as if that is an urban legend. This is like Mythbusters stuff, by a nickel. And what I did was I went to about.com, and they have an article on it, and somebody had written in. They said they've been listening to the radio today. A couple of speakers made mention of the fact that Mr. Rogers was a Marine sharpshooter. Some even say he was supposed to have had something like 150 kills in the Vietnam War. They say they don't think that could have been true because he was on TV during the war, and in any case, he'd be likely been too old to serve in Vietnam. They want to know if it was true. person who wrote this article for About.com says, unless all the biographical information they have about him is wrong, Fred McFeely Rogers never served in the military in any capacity, let alone as a Marine Corps sniper or a Navy SEAL, as another version of this story claims. Some cynical folks may loathe to believe that the gentle, soft-spoken host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was exactly what he seemed, but he was. Fred Rogers was Fred Rogers. He probably couldn't even spell Navy SEAL, or would want to. He was just who he was, you know. So, but not a Navy SEAL. That I think we've squashed that one. A couple of other things going on. Let me buy a nickel. A couple of questions we still had out there that we'd love to hear some answers from too. Do you know what Captain Kangaroo did before he became Captain Kangaroo? And also, do you know what got Groucho Marx in trouble on You Bet Your Life? We're talking about old-time radio and television tonight. This has been a great show. I've been just enjoying it an awful lot, and we'd love to hear from some other folks right now. Here's some check-ins. We'll take them right now on the TIN. This is South Cars.
SKO.
Okay, we have SKO. Anybody else want to come aboard right now?
Mike Oscar X-Ray.
Okay, we've got two this time, so we'll pick it up right now. Don, SKO, go ahead and join us on the TIN.
Hey, thanks, Gary, and good evening, everybody. Yeah, I came in a little bit late. There were parent teacher conferences tonight, and I had to get my daughter's pass. So when I came in, I guess I heard someone talking about Fred Rogers, and it took me back to when I was younger. I guess, you know, old-time radio or old-time shows are depending on whatever your generation is, and thankfully in my generation, I was still growing up on those really old ones because they were all being syndicated. So, except for Mr. Rogers, of course. And I had remembered my dad coming home kind of early from work one day. I'm not quite sure why, but there he was. I must have been 4 or 5. And Mr. Rogers was on, and of course Mr. Rogers walks in, takes his shoes off, puts on another pair of shoes, takes his get off, puts on another, like, how say. And I'm looking at my dad, and I'm looking at the TV, looking at my dad, it's like, what's the matter, Dad? How come you don't change your shoes when you go home? You just toss them across the room. So it was a little confusing, and I still to this day I can't understand why he's always changing his shoes and his sweater. So so in that part just kind of made me laugh, you know, thinking of my dad and Mr. Rogers. One thing that struck me, because I knew the topic tonight was going to be old-time shows, and when I was in kindergarten, Andy Griffith was in syndication, and when I had to leave in the middle of the day, and I had to be watched by my aunts, and the time, I couldn't tell time then, so the whole time that I knew when I had to go leave for the bus stop was when Opie throws the rock into the creek. And as soon as he did that, then I had to shut the TV off and walk out. So I had to watch the whole episode. So basically, I was brought up on Andy Griffith. So as far as like old-time shows are considered about this topic, that's the one that came to mind to me. So, but I'm kind of interested and excited about listening to everybody else. And I have no answers for your story about Captain Kangaroo, so sorry. So I will sit by here, listen to a few more, and hopefully be able to chime in again. This is KD8SKO, back to net control.
Papa Romeo.
All right, thank you there, sir, and I do hope you'll check in again. It sounds like we had an RF station coming in, so let's let you come ahead first. Looks like Papa Romeo Kevin coming in as an RF station. We'd love to hear from you. Come on aboard.
Yeah, hey, good evening. Sorry to jump in like that. My commute to where I'm going is relatively short, but on the way in from work, I heard talk about Captain Kangaroo, and I did not realize that was like a national show, because I grew up on the Jersey Shore, literally a mile from the beach, and go down the beach and you saw New York City across the Raritan Bay. So I thought Captain Kangaroo was like a regional show. That was a discussion earlier. And what was the other comment I was going to make? I'm sorry. It escapes me at this point, and I don't want to hold it. KJ4PR.
Hey, well, thank you for checking in, and especially on the mobile. That is much appreciated, Kevin. Captain Kangaroo, of course, was a national show, it was hosted its entire time by Bob Keeshan. Bob Keeshan was right from the get-go, Captain Kangaroo. You mentioned the Jersey Shore and regional shows, and the first thing that came to mind that was a regional show there that actually became a syndicated show anyway was did you ever watch Uncle Floyd?
I'm not familiar with Uncle Floyd, but I mean I am old enough to remember, you know, watching Our Gang, even, you know. Well, okay. Let's fess up right away. I'm 55 years old. As a kid, I remember some of the Our Gang episodes being silent with subtitles, and I don't remember Uncle Floyd. And then also, I remember another show that was also silent was Billy Bang Bang. It was like a cowboy western show, but it was like in the silent days. So we're talking about, let's see, I don't know. I was born in 1957, so I don't know my memory. Actually, the earliest memory I have is Hurricane Donna in 1960. That's like, I remember just my mom preparing the house and my dad being at work, and I just remember a lot of things about that. So I guess my earliest memory from childhood would be at 3 years old. But some of those TV shows, we watched a lot of stuff on, I think it was Channel 9 in New York City, I believe. We were fortunate enough in those days to live close enough to a major market where we had a whole bunch of TV channels, you know, relatively speaking, over the air, you know, for that time in, you know, that era. Over. KJ4PR.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Uncle Floyd was a, first of all, there are a few people here who have a couple of years on you anyway, so so you're the junior member of the call-in, you know. But Uncle Floyd was an interesting show. It was a it was kind of a takeoff on kids shows. It was not really part of what I would consider classic old time television, but it was kind of a New Jersey thing. It was on in the 80s, which I guess kind of qualifies as it as old time now. But it was kind of a takeoff on kids shows from the 50s and 60s, except it was more geared towards adults. It was kind of like a combination burlesque show and kids show all at once. Very strange stuff, but it was great stuff. And I did want to just touch base too. Going back to what Don was talking about earlier, Don, I have a message for you, and that's okay. So we'll get that one. Had to get that one. I absolutely had to get that one in. So we're talking about old time TV and old time radio and all that stuff that a lot of us really do love. MOX, Rebecca, you were checking in. We'd love to hear from you right now, so please come on aboard.
Oh, hello. I was thinking about my first recollections with a television. The house we lived in, we moved from there when my little sister was just learning to walk. So we moved from there 59 or maybe the early part of 60. And my first recollection of the television was laying on the quilt, the baby quilt that Mama had made for me, and it was, she had folded it in half, laid it across the coffee table, and I laid on it, and looked up on top of the seat of wardrobe to the television that we had sitting up there. So it's up there near the ceiling. And I remember laying up there and watching Popeye. And I recall some of the other shows that I watched during that time, but Popeye is the vivid memory. But other shows I watched during that time were The Mouse Club and, of course, Howdy Doody and my kid programs from that point in time. But yeah, that was fascinating stuff. KK4 in the lake, so I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. That was fascinating stuff. That was stuff that you think about that now. A lot of these shows that we're talking about tonight are greater than 50 years old. I mean, and some of them far greater than when we get to the talking about the old time radio stuff. Some of that stuff like Suspense and those old shows like that. You know, the old Private Eye shows, Philip Marlowe, Private Eye, and stuff like that. Those are much older than that. So they were doing something right if we can remember that stuff today, and still appreciate it. So there was some awful good stuff on the air back then, and awfully enjoyable stuff. That's for sure. That was just super duper stuff. It's funny. Gordon and I were talking about. Kind of the stuff that you used to do back in the old days, back in the days of rabbit ear antennas and pulling things off the air, and when you maybe had one or two channels in town, you know, and that was it. That's what you were watching, and we were talking about the old days with the rabbit ears. I used to goose them up a little bit and put some aluminum foil on the rabbit ears, and by doing that, if you got things just right and if conditions were just good enough for you, you could from Syracuse here we could pull in Kingston, Ontario, and we got to see some CBC shows, which made me the envy of the neighborhood, which was pretty neat. And my mom, let me buy a nickel. My mom was a very resourceful woman. She could just make anything out of thin air. I think she probably gave me my first introduction into fabricating antennas, because she was great at that sort of thing. She'd cook up stuff that was just crazy, and a lot of times it worked, though. We're talking about old-time radio tonight, old-time television, and we'd love to hear from you. We're having some great memories, and anything you want to throw into the mix vis-a-vis OTR or OTTV, we'd love to hear. We're taking check-ins right now on the TIN.
Six, Victor.
Six, Victor, come aboard, sir.
Hey, Gary, thank you very much, sir. I'm just enjoying the heck out of this. Gordon here, KY6V. Gary, let me tell you a quick story that I don't believe is too far out of school. Those of us who have been in broadcasting business, like yourself and myself, and in particularly those of us who were in the engineering side of the business, paid little or no attention to the programming. And I put that in quotes. It was the job of the programming department to schedule and pick what was to be aired, and it was the job of the engineering department, you know, to make sure that what was necessary to be used was in good working order and ready for what needed to be done. Now, the eyes of an engineer, Gary, are looking at video content, if you're in the TV side of this broadcasting thing, on a waveform monitor, and the ears are not listening to the audio content of the program, but listening for audio breakups, or hum, or distortion, and the like. Now, You know, when I was at home, my family was trained. The standing order in the house, Gary, is if the TV screen goes black, immediately tell me so. And this would normally tell me we have a studio problem. They were also told that if they saw anything funny on the screen and heard noise, to let me know immediately, because this would tell me that the transmitter had gone off the air. So in essence, we in the business had selective hearing, Gary, and you think about this. That is to say, we could tune out the garbage of the program and only hear the real problems of the moment. KC2RMO from KY6V with a smile.
As KC2RMO with a laugh. I was on the other end of the thing, of course. I was a programmer. I was the head of the programming department. And I was the supplier of the garbage. So, you know, you have to have one to get the other, you know. So it's like it's teamwork, Gordon. It's teamwork. But yeah, you know, that's true. I can't imagine how awesome it must have been in the early days, especially, to be working on television, to be working with the technical side of television, because there was so much more to it, and it was a totally new art, and you probably ended up having to invent more stuff than you learned. But that's true. How about that, Gordon?
Well, I think there's some credence to that, Gary. You know, I will say the revolution that really took place, the technology for black and white television was pretty straightforward. You know, you've got an amplitude modulated video carrier, and you've got a frequency modulated audio FM carrier. But when they came around, and it didn't take them long to get there, to this NTSC color quadrature technology, I mean, that was a lot to swallow. The engineers were sitting back and saying, "Say what, Gary? Over."
Yeah, that, I can imagine that must have been the case, because you know, I guess, you know, really, when you think about it, it does, as you just described it. I mean, black and white's pretty, pretty simple, you know, but, you know, in theory anyway, it sounds pretty simple. But I know from my days at GE, because we made video projection systems, and a lot of that stuff was used off the air, too. They would take signals off the air for display, you know, you'd hear the engineers talking about this and that and the other thing. And if you're just coming in from that cold, it was kind of mind-boggling stuff, and it's, you know, it still is. You know, it's amazing that you take all these different ideas, these different standards, these different methods of modulating that signal, and of course now today we're doing things digitally, but. Putting that all together and then having the thing work is really amazing. So you must have had a lot of fun with that. I do think you did. Great to hear that comment. And I'm just going to take a quick break here. And if you're just joining us again, we're talking about old-time radio. We're talking about old-time TV and some of the shows that we loved and some of the things you remember. About those times, some of the people that were on some of those shows, or some of those shows that bore their name, are memorable too. I was making out a list last night, and about some of the people and some of the shows that I personally liked. And you may not know this name. I was kind of surprised But I'll throw it out there, too. If you knew the name of Stan Freberg, I don't know how familiar you are with him, but Stan Freberg was one of the pioneers in television and one of the pioneers in radio. Did some very creative stuff. He's done some incredibly funny records. He was really the first person. Not that there weren't comedy records before Freberg, but Freberg really brought it to a new height. If you've ever heard John and Marsha, the John and Marsha record is just basically John and Marsha saying John, Marsha, but the way they play it out is just awesome. Freberg did some incredible TV commercials and radio commercials. One of which that immediately comes to mind was when he drained Lake Michigan and turned it into a root beer float right before your very ears. It was pretty cool stuff. Freberg was actually took over for Jack Benny when the Jack Benny radio show went off the air. Freberg took the show over with his own particular brand of doing things. Benny, of course, was brought to you by Lucky Strike. Freberg didn't want to do any alcohol or tobacco, and because of that, he couldn't get a sponsor, so I think he only lasted something like 6 months on the air. But that didn't really stop him. He kind of went on to bigger and better things. So that was one little tidbit that I wanted to throw in there. We can throw in a few extras, too. But right now we'll take some more check-ins on the TIN. Looking for check-ins and talking about old-time radio and old-time television. Come on aboard.
Alima, Charlie, Bravo.
I'll try it again. Victor X-Ray Papa.
And always good to hear from you guys. LCB George, go on ahead, please.
Well, thank you again, Gary. I was sitting back here, you know, with amusing thought of in the early day of radio, and I'm quite sure it was used in the TV and the movie industry. When they used to your sound system, you know, if they wanted sounds of lightning or something like that, you might shake a piece of tin or horses galloping and coconuts, half coconuts, and bang them on the floor. Or different utensils that they use to get different sounds. And I just was thinking about some of these sound engineers, you know, where all of a sudden you've got a spike in the audio coming off of a piece of a tin rattling and things like that. And also in the TV industry when you would see a hair on a lens and you could see it crawl across the screen as, most cameras or even projectors would have a fan or something to keep them cool and whatever wind flow might move that hair or a bug, you know, and you see it showed up on the screen. But I imagine that drove some of these sound people crazy, these unexpected sounds. You rehearse, you know, doing it one way, excuse me, but, at certain times, maybe you got a little bit, too excited and, brought that up a few, decibels there, and, that I recall made me, think of, one of the, either the Marx Brothers or, Great Day, the Three Stooges, that one old porcupine looking head, curly head guy, you'd see his head stand straight out, you know. That thought kind of rolled across my mind. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo back to net control.
You just made me think, George, of a very, very, very funny Three Stooges episode. Because I'm a big fan of the Stooges. I mean, Mr. Sophistication here, you know, big fan of the Stooges. There's a great episode. You can look this up on YouTube. I think it's all over the place. The name of the film is called Microphonies. Microphonies. And it's where the Stooges get on the air at a radio station, or not on the air, but they actually they make a record at a radio station. And I'm not even going to go into the plot other than that, except it's absolutely hilarious. And if you'd like to check it out, it's called Microphonies, and it's on YouTube. It would be my primary source anyway for that. So you made me laugh about that. Another thing, though, that you'd mentioned, and I'm going to buy a nickel, is the sound effects. And one thing that I always wanted to do and never had the chance to do in broadcasting was to do a live old-time radio-type broadcast. I wanted to do War of the Worlds and never got the chance to do it. We kind of put it together in a test way. We taped it. We taped at least part of it and, you know, tried how to learn how to do those sound effects like that with common items, and it was starting to come out pretty good. I think we had it, but we just never were able to pull it off. We never got the people together that we needed at one time, you know, and all that. But would have been fun, and someday I'd still like to do that. So sound effects is pretty cool, and that is what paints the picture, or one of the things anyway that helps to paint the picture in your mind when you're listening to these old broadcasts that make them so special. KY6V is in the box with a comment, and we, sir, would love to hear it. Come on aboard.
Hey, thanks, Gary. I don't want to hold up Rick, who I think is next in line. But I just wanted to make a comment, KY6V, after what George was saying. I want to tell you a quick story that just always tickled me when it happened and still does. I had a studio tech come up to me one day, and he said, Mr. Smith, he says, I'd like to make a suggestion. And I said, well, certainly. And he says, you know, we are obligated by FCC rules and regulations to put so many PSAs out on a weekly basis. Public service announcements is what PSA stands for. And he says, I've got a great idea I'd like you to think about. He says, just imagine this. We open up with an announcer that says, ladies and gentlemen, we are about, as a public service, to clean the inside of your television CRT. And at this point, he says, I will get up in front of the camera with a bottle of spray water and a rag. I'll spray the lens on the front of the camera. I'll wipe it clean, and that will be the PSA for this portion of the week. We never did it, Gary, but it was a great idea. KY6V, over.
Oh, I wish it had. That's great. That's priceless. That's awesome. Clean screen week, you know? That's great. That is, I can vision, you know what's great about that is I can picture that. As you were describing that, I could picture that, and the guy with the spray bottle coming up and cleaning the screen. That's awesome. I hope somebody at some point develops a similar thought process, and that actually comes to fruition, because that's awesome stuff. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very, very much. VXP Rick with a recheck. We would love to hear from you, sir. Come on aboard.
This is N1VXP. Kind of thought of what George was talking about, the TV shows. I always thought about Flash Gordon watching the spaceship, leaving the planet. Of course, you could always see the wire where it was hanging on. You could see that going up through the screen. Always made a chuckle about that, saying, oh, that rocket isn't moving. It's being pulled up. But who could forget Mickey Mouse Club? I mean, that was one program I always look forward to, that always with the idea of the I can remember several Spin and Marty, Hardy Boys, and Jimmy Cricket bingle clips on there. But I think I might as well answer your question about who what did Captain Kangaroo do before he became captain. If memory serves me, and I'm thinking back on this one, wasn't he Clarabelle in Howdy Doody Show? And I think on the show he did slip up and say something, and that kind of, that's all I remember of the show. And 1VXP back to net control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have that, give the man a silver dollar, and that's a, that's an old time radio thing right there. That was from the, I believe, I think that was from the original Amateur Hour, I think. But give that man a silver dollar. No, maybe I take that back. I don't believe it was, but it was from old time radio anyway. That's exactly what happened. And the situation was, it was the very last performance of Clarabelle. It was the last show, and he stood there. And if you remember seeing the show, if you were familiar with it, Clarabelle never talked. Clarabelle had a box that had two horns on it, and one he would honk for yes, and the other he would honk for no. So you always had to ask Clarabelle a yes or no question, and he would either answer you or squirt you in the face with his seltzer bottle. That was Clarabelle's thing. But on the last performance of Clarabelle, they zoomed in to him, and he teared up. He actually teared up on camera, and he spoke for the first time in all the time that he had been on the air, and the words were, "Goodbye, kids," or "So long, kids." I can't remember whether it was "Goodbye" or "So long, kids," but it was just that those two little words that that he spoke. But Clarabelle finally broke his silence. So that's why I said he only said one sentence, and it was a very short one before he became Captain Kangaroo. So thank you, Rick, for that, because we've solved one mystery. The next mystery, of course, is what did Groucho do to get in trouble? And it still was pretty funny stuff. So we're talking about old-time radio and television. Earlier on in the net, we had been talking about the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and just wanted to touch on that just for a brief moment, and a couple of other things too. That was ran from it had an eight-year run, was 84 to 72, and it was also rebroadcast on a couple of other stations after that. The format was similar to that of classic old-time radio shows, such as The Mysterious Traveler and The Whistler. The Whistler was another spooky show from back in the day. It had E.G. Marshall as the host. You might remember him. And he would open up that creaky door, and he would say, "Come in, welcome, I'm E.G. Marshall." And that was followed by one of Marshall's other catchphrases, usually like, "The sound of suspense," or "The fear you can hear." And at the conclusion, the door would swing shut, preceded by Marshall's classic sign-off, "Until next time, pleasant dreams." And the ominous CBS Radio Mystery Theater theme would sound then, and that was his sign-off. Buy a nickel for a moment. And also I wanted to touch base very quickly on one of my old favorites, and I think a lot of people really like this, whether it was on radio or television, because it was on both, was Dragnet. Dragnet was a radio and television and also a motion picture series of crime drama about the cases of a dedicated L.A. police detective, Sergeant Joe Friday, and his partners. The show takes its name from an actual police term, Dragnet, meaning a system of coordinated measures for apprehending criminals or suspects. Dragnet was perhaps the most famous and influential police procedural drama in media history. The series gave millions of audience members a feel for the boredom and drudgery, as well as the danger and heroism of real-life police work. Dragnet earned praise for improving public opinion of police officers, both on the radio and on TV. It was a very realistic show for its time, and it also had some real goofball characters in there sometimes too. Some of the people, some of the victims they would run into were kind of screwy, but just great stuff. Dragnet had a lot of different iterations. It ran right from the 50s all the way up to the 70s in one form or another. Just terrific stuff, and certainly something I enjoy still watching and listening to today. We're talking about old-time radio and television shows, and we'd like to hear from you now. Any further check-ins on
LBM?
Mike Oscar X-Ray.
TIN.
SKO.
We've got three, and we'll kick them off right now, rather, with LBM. Jim, come on aboard.
Hello, this is WB4LBM, and that's right on the Captain Clarabell Hornblow. But, and you're right, he did say goodbye to the kids and all that stuff. And the screen, they're going to wash the screen, clean it up for you. I didn't never see that on television, but when I got into computers, and back in the days of the green screen, you remember that? And there was a program out that everybody had, I guess everybody did. They had a computer at the time, because it sure went around, and it was to clean the screen, and that's exactly what they did. They took a rag and they come up and sprayed the lens of the picture tube, and then wiped it off from the inside. And then he says, I missed the spot right over here in the corner. And he comes back and gets that spot. But it's, that did come, it's a reality. Back in the early days of computing, early enough to be on a green screen anyhow. So it did happen. WB4LBM.
Hey Jim, I wonder if Gordon's Tech ended up writing this. You know, it's a cool program. I would have loved to have seen that. I think just to digress for a very quick moment, probably the best old computer program I ever saw was one that I almost should never have done to a friend of mine. Because I completely freaked him out. I had a Commodore 64, which I loved. I still think that's one of the greatest machines ever invented. I had a Commodore 64, and I had this. It had a modem on it, which was very, very advanced for a time. You know, oh, he's got a modem. It was 300 baud too. You know, I had a program on that made it look like you were hacking into NORAD. It was a simulation, and it would let you make false passwords or attempts at passwords, and it would deny you, and you try a different combination. And finally, it would allow you in, and you'd go from level to level to level to level, and finally you get to the missile launch command, you know, and of course you would make a mistake and inadvertently launch the missiles. You know, and you couldn't pull it back. You couldn't do anything. And I did this to a friend of mine, and poor Tom almost ended up in a mental institution. He thought we'd ended the world. And finally, it took about 15, 20 minutes to tell him that it was really just a computer program, and we were okay. But I was amazed he still remained my friend after that. It was many, many moons ago, but I still haven't changed one bit. MOX, we'd love to hear from you. Rebecca, come on aboard.
Hi. Well, you were talking about that Commodore computer program. It made me wonder if that was probably some of the precursor towards for the movie War Games that I got to enjoy quite a few years after that. But I don't know if anybody remembers recalls that, but that was we had kids hacking into a computer and actually setting off a game, a simulated game system that the computer took as reality, not as a game. But anyway, what I had in mind was I tripped across earlier today a clip of Red Skelton doing a Pledge of Allegiance. And for those who don't know, he was recalling his seventh grade teacher, a lesson that he had given the kids. He said he'd been listening to the kids recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and it just seemed like it had gotten boredom for them, and so he went through and gave them a definition of the words and in the pledge, and then had them recite the pledge again. And that was so moving and awesomely done. And with him retelling it, and you can, his age is showing at that point, and I had never noticed him having tremors and stuff, and I know I had I caught the emotion where he was fighting back some tears with that, but when he was backing away, his age was really showing, and he was very tremulous. But that was a very touching performance, and it's available on YouTube. Red Skelton's Pledge of Allegiance, I think is how it's named, or something like that. I just wanted to share that with you. KK4MOX.
Well, Rebecca, first let me say, greetings, Professor Felton. How about a nice game of chess? That was right around the time of War Games, and War Games 2 is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie, and it's funny, because I was looking at that... not looking at the movie, but I had just kind of surfed the web and pulled up the, you know, the information on the movie over last weekend. I was saying, gee, I got to get a copy of that again, because I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'd really like to see it. It's a super movie. And Red Skelton doing that pledge is, I've heard that, and it is absolutely memorable. And if you haven't, like Rebecca said, take the time to go to YouTube and take the time to listen to it, because it's great stuff, and I think all of us should maybe at least give it props, as they say, and let's give it a listen, because it's good stuff. SKO Don, I'm glad you're checking back in again. Let's hear from you on the TIN.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Yeah, I since I missed the first hour, I don't know if this was mentioned before, but I haven't heard anyone even talk about Looney Tunes yet. And as far as a generation bridge, my goodness, was that ever funny. and it was for all ages, too. You know, growing up on Saturday mornings, running up and to the TV and watching Bugs Bunny and... the barbershop little thing he did, I killed the rabbit, Elmer Fudd, and that whole opera, that was, oh, God, I'll never forget that. But, I mean, my dad, you know, he was born in 43, and he can remember watching Looney Tunes as a kid. So, and every time I would watch it, I always see something different or understand something different. I mean, it wasn't just for kids. They had jokes in there for adults. So no matter how many times you watched it growing up, you always got something new, and it always made it great and bearable for parents to watch. Nowadays, you can't, oh, the backyard again. Oh, my God, my head still hurts just thinking about that. There's nothing there for the parents at all. So, but I don't know if anyone mentioned Looney Tunes, so I wanted to throw that one out there. Just sitting here, thought about that. And the ability to draw a door and walk through a rock. just genius, just pure genius. So, with that, I'll pass it back over to the net control. This is KD8SKO.
Hey, Don, thank you for mentioning Looney Tunes. How could I forget? This is what I mean. It was earlier, and I don't know if you'd heard that earlier, but I had mentioned, I said, there are so many things that are so obvious that that you overlook them. You know, that they're so big, that they're so much a part of everything that you kind of tend to overlook them. Looney Tunes is a part of my life. There is... There's not a week that goes by that I do not watch a Looney Tune of some sort. I love them. I will always love them. There's actually two opera Bugs Bunny cartoons that you'd mentioned. The one that you were talking about with Kill the Wabbit is one called What's Opera Doc, and that was rated. It's within the top five, and it could possibly be rated number one of the all-time greatest cartoons. And the second one was The Rabbit of Seville, and that's where, you know, Bugs gets out the Figaro fertilizer and massages it into Elmer's head, and the flowers grow up and everything. And that comes in, I believe, in the top 20. That's a number 12, I think, entry for all-time great cartoon voting. But I love that stuff. I love that stuff. I quote them every day. It's just, yeah, you're right. Saturday morning without Looney Tunes would be just non-existent. It's just not unthinkable. It really is. I'm just going to buy a nickel. Also, one of the things in this kind of as a combination of things. I was talking about Stan Freberg earlier, and we're talking about Looney Tunes right now, and I had actually just sent Gordon a link to one of my favorite Looney Tunes. This one doesn't have Bugs Bunny in it, but it's a variation on the Three Little Pigs as jazz musicians. It's a thing called the Three Little Bops, and Stan Freberg did the vocal for it. I believe he wrote the words to it. Shorty Rogers did the music for it. It is priceless. And if you get a chance to see that, definitely check that out. I couldn't find it on YouTube, but if you Google it, it will come up on a couple of different spots, and it's definitely worth watching. A lot of fun. We're talking about old time radio, old time television, and all the stuff that we really like a lot, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll take some check-ins right now on the TIN. Okay, nothing heard right now, but I did want to mention too, throw out there too. Disney. Somebody had mentioned the Mickey Mouse Club, and then there was the Wonderful World of Disney, and you had a little something different every week, and it was always interesting. If I remember right, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Wonderful World of Disney was a Sunday night show. And you'd get to see a little something different every week, different topic, and it was always interesting and always fun to watch. So I kind of remember that as well. Wanted to mention just real quickly and touch base, because I wanted to give these guys a little bit of exposure too, was Bob and Ray. I don't know if you're familiar with these guys, but they certainly warped my mind. They were Ray Golding and Bob Elliott had begun their career as radio announcers in Boston, WHDH, and did some of the funniest improvisational stuff. It was they would just come up with a situation and make some very improbable and hilarious stuff out of it. The dialogue was great. They would do scripted stuff every now and then. They were a they had a 15-minute radio show that expanded to much more than that. They were staples on NBC's Monitor. Monitor, of course, was the longest-running network radio program that ran over 20 years. It was a weekend program that NBC ran. It was a very high-budget radio program. It was basically in the initial form, 48 hours worth of programming that NBC offered, and some very interesting people, Dave Garraway, Frank Blair, Bob and Ray, and the unforgettable Miss Monitor reading the reading the weather. And again, that's available too. I'm going to throw some links up on the text box. If anybody's interested, we'll throw those up, and you guys can refer to that too. I think Kathy had a comment, and I'd love to hear from her. K6SUN, if you'd like to come aboard, please do so, ma'am.
Well, Gary, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Maybe a final comment to you. I'll be in the background, but I'm enjoying listening. But you talked about Disney. You know, I think way, way back, I had three brothers, you know. They never wanted to watch the Disney Channel. But I really did get a great interest in that. Black Velvet, different program, like you said, every week. But my brothers, I had two older and one younger, and I had to fight for that TV to watch Disney. They didn't want to watch Disney at all. They wanted to watch something else. But, you know, that was a great program way back. And when we think about Disney, I live in an area where there is Disney. George and Gordon live in an area where Orlando, where they have Disney World. So, you know, it's a very part, much of a part of our life right now. Even though we're older, we still go back to that Disney part where we want Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and anything that was to do with Disney. I want to thank you, both you, Gordon, and you, Gary, for doing the net this evening. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But I did want to thank you and make some final comments. So back to you, Gary. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, you are totally welcome. Totally and completely welcome. This has been just a ton of fun. And I can't imagine anything I'd like to... Well, I could think of things I'd like to talk about as much, but certainly can't think of anything I'd like to talk about more. This is just a great subject, and I think, you know, this is one of those things that you can go on all night with, really. You know, people just have all their favorites, they have all their memories that are linked to this, and these things really have become just a big part of people's lives. So it's a wonderful topic and a lot of fun. We're kind of getting down to things right now. We've been going on now for a little over 2 hours, so I guess about time to take some final check-ins. So we'll give it last call right now. We're going to do last call on the TIN for old-time radio and old-time television. Come on aboard.
Bravo, Mike.
One India.
And bless your pea-picking heart.
I think I heard old Tennessee Ernie in there. So we'll definitely be wanting to talk to you too, sir. So we have LBM. So go ahead, Jim. Let's hear from you for one more time around.
All right. We got one of them, but we still haven't gotten the other one, and that's what got Groucho Marx in so much trouble, and it was the biggest lawsuit he ever had, and he had more than one. He had two majors caused by the one show, but the major one in his financial end of it, it cost him the most money, was, like I say, he was alive, and there was a lady and a gentleman. They always had a lady and a gentleman for contestants. And they were standing there yapping, and this lady was talking about the big family that they had, that she had, rather. And she made a comment about that she enjoyed the big family. And Groucho come back with the statement, well, I like my cigar too, but I take it out every now and then. That cost him a pile of money. they sued him for a heap of money and collected it too. Good evening to all. I have enjoyed it. WB4LBM.
That was one of the great, great lines ever issued by anybody. That was just great stuff. You're right. And it might have cost him a lot, but it gave us a lot of laughs. So that's terrific. Thank you, Jim. One India Paul, I'm awfully glad you came aboard. I would like to hear from you, sir. Speak, hold your peace.
Hey there, Gary. Very nice to be here. I'm sorry I'm Johnny come lately tonight. This sounds like it was an awful lot of fun. But I just got home not too long ago. And just actually got my bed back set up into the bedroom here. So it's my first transmission for my redone room. Very nice. How are the acoustics? And I'm glad you enjoyed that Voltaire quote that I sent you. I saw that on the calendar this morning, and I just I thought, oh, this is my kind of guy. Even if he was back in the 1600s there. But I came late, Gary, so I missed pretty much the whole show. I did catch when you guys were bringing up Disney, and I think that the Mickey Mouse Club was probably the earliest show I remember watching. I was a member of the club. I had the ears and the t-shirt with the Mickey Mouse face and the round circle logo and the whole nine yards. Pictures, family pictures of me. I must have been, I don't know, 4, maybe 5 years old. I'd sit there with that t-shirt on, these little cowboy boots, watching that show. But the wonderful world of Disney, I'll drop it for a second. That brought back a memory that I never really thought of in a very, very, very long time. That show, I remember because, you know, I grew up for most of my younger years, you know, we had black and white television in my house. And, you know, just like everything else nowadays, when something new comes out, it's very expensive. And I had an uncle, who's actually my godfather, and he was one of the guys in the family who had a little bit more money than most. And he was one of the first people to have color TV. And I remember it was a big deal for us to go over there once every maybe 6 months or something on a Sunday evening. You're right, a Sunday evening. And watch the wonderful world of Disney in his den with that color television. And, you know, when you've never seen a color TV before, that is just stunning. And I believe it was even, I even remember it was on NBC, because I remember being mesmerized by that, the Peacock, that came on before the broadcast. And then when the show started, the pictures of the castle, the Disney castle, and Tinkerbell flying around with her stardust trails and her wand, and the colors were just mind-bending, something totally new. And what a treat, something we now all take for granted. One more click here. And this very same uncle, by the way, he had a party room downstairs. I mean, it was just the basement, but had a bar and everything. I guess you can call it a rumpus room. But he also had down there an old-fashioned pump-the-pedals-with-your-feet player piano. And that was just an astonishing thing, too, at that age. Watching those keys play by themselves. Of course, you really couldn't play like a piano. You couldn't hit the notes harder or softer and everything. They just kind of played. but it was still fascinating to watch. The digital ones nowadays that have the actual intonation and everything are quite amazing.
Well, Paul, I never had an uncle that had a player piano. I had an uncle though that was very similar to yours. You know, it was when you were describing that, it was almost the same scenario as I had when I was growing up. My dad passed away early. He passed away when I was 9 years old, and so my mom was bringing us up, and you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so the TVs we had were generally hand-me-downs from my aunt and uncle. You know, it's like, oh, you can have this old black and white set because we're getting color. You know, and I remember going over to that house, and they had this thing was huge. I mean, Michael would spend those bucks on stuff that was just amazing. He had to buy himself a brand new DeSoto every year. And he had this giant, and I don't know how big that screen was, but it was big, and it was a Dumont color TV. I'm going to buy a nickel. A Dumont color TV, and I remember exactly as you described it. You know, the voice would come on, and the following is a color presentation on NBC, you know, and you'd get the Tinkerbell flying across and the Magic Castle and the whole nine yards, and you were just, you hit it exactly right. You were mesmerized. You just glued yourself to that set, and it was just so amazing to see that in color. Remarkable, remarkable stuff. Thank you. Thank you for those memories. That's great stuff, and great to hear from you as always. We had a little check-in from the old pea picker himself, so LBM, come on aboard, please. I meant to say LCB. George, you're the pea picker. Come on in and pick some peas.
Well, we'll give it a try there, Gary. Thank you. But yeah, they were some great shows, and you know, we lost a whole lot of talent, you know, back in the early years of radio and TV, you know, being in Key West there, we didn't have too much TV there. You know, I remember going, sitting in front of a TV store, about 8, 10 of us, we even brought chairs there. They didn't have lawn chairs back then, we just brought the kitchen table chair out there and watched TV. Our first color TV we saw was sitting out on the sidewalk, but in Key West, what can you say there? But you know, back in the early years of radio and TV, you know, a lot of people got lost or blackballed, so to speak, because you know, they said they were sympathizers with Germany, you know, and at war and all. So we lost a great lot of talent there. He got blackballed and never could perform. Nobody would have him there. It kind of reminds me of Homeland Security today there. Ridiculous, some of the things they do, but what can you say there? Thank you much. I really enjoyed it, Gary. You know, appreciate you putting your time and the information together for us tonight. So we'll say a good night to you, because it's time way past our time to lay it down. So thank you, my friend. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, I think it's getting the night is getting to the time when we should all be turning out those lights and hitting the rack. But great as always to hear from you. And you know, you kind of reminded me too. Just quick thinking about that. We had our first color TV. Actually, my mom's brother died and left her some money. And it was the first time she ever had any money at all in her life. And I think the first thing she did was to go and buy a color TV. And the second thing was a stickly table, because she always wanted a good table. And the rest she put in the bank, you know. But that was her first thing, was getting this color TV. And we were all like, wow, we finally got one, you know. it's awesome. But thanks for checking in there, George. And it's great, as always, having you there. This has been a great net. I hope we can do this again. I really do. We just seem to have so much fun with this topic, and maybe sometime in the future we'll do it again, either on another TIN or maybe you know, on one of the rag chews or something like that. We'll see how that all plays out. But it's an awful lot of fun, you know, could do this all night long, really. But we'll have to close her down, so I'll say 7-3 to everybody. Hope you have a great remainder of the week and a great weekend ahead. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary. My call is KC2RMO, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.
Thanks, Gary. Just a great show. KY6V. Let me leave this as a closer. Don't forget the early on test pattern on TV. KY6V.
Hey, I'm sorry. I missed your comment in the box. I was reading the script in front of me, and I didn't see the box. But you are right. The early morning test pattern, and that was. You know, usually had the Indian head on it, and you'd have a 500 hertz tone that they would play until they were ready to get the audio level. And I remember, I can tell you right now, the Saturday morning lineup on the station that we watched. It was you'd wait for that to go away, and then you'd get the announcer. Reading the sign-on, it would go to a guy by the name of Gordon Alderman for the morning benediction. It would then go that show that I had mentioned earlier, which was called Industry on Parade, which you can, again, if you search around, you can find this thing. It was just a show, you know, there's a show on the... on one of the cable channels, it's like on the Science Channel or something like that, that is How Things Are Made. And it was kind of like the precursor to that. And it just was actually a fascinating show. It was just a very, very interesting show, but people ran it as a 15-minute filler until 6:30. And at 6:30, you heard Chet Atkins come on. and they throw the card up for a showkey, and you got to see Hopalong Cassidy and all those other favorite folks there too. So that's my memories of that. But yeah, thanks for the reminder of the test pattern. I actually have one of those old Indian head test patterns that I use as a screensaver. So I'll turn it back to you.
Oh, do you really? Isn't that interesting? Well, I wanted to wave at Paul, you know, up in Danbury. When he said the fascination of the peacock, I immediately thought of the fascination of the, you know, the early morning original test patterns. Hey, I want to compliment you and ask you the question, do you have perfect pitch? If you do, and being a musician, I mean, you really got it going for you. That 500 KC that just came across as a test pattern tone was just right there, you know, just a little bit above concert A at 440. And I heard you whistle earlier, and you do a pretty good job, dude. Over.
Well, I was not blessed with perfect pitch, but I have relative pitch, and it's pretty good relative pitch. So I don't have the golden ear, but what's left of my ear is pretty good, so I guess it's good enough anyway. You know what I mean? So, I just kind of took it for granted. You know, it never really made too much of it.
Well, it shows, and it's great. Do you sing also, Gary? Not to be nosy here, but can you pick and sing at the same time? Over.
I can pick and sing it. I used to. I mean, I haven't done it in an awful long time. I mean an awful long time. but I always could do that. I wouldn't want to do it all night long, but I can do it. You know, I used to do when I was playing in the band. We used to, you know, I'd do a couple of songs in the set. You know, we had a lead singer who was a very good singer, and he was the guy that played keyboards was a very good singer. I have an interesting voice, but I like it. You know, so it is more suited to more of a bluesy sound, you know, than blues, kind of a down-home blues sound. I would do a couple of songs during the set, and I would also when I played drums when I was a teenager, and we'd have those garage bands. I always sang in those too, so I'd have the boom microphone over the drum kit.
Oh, that's great. Oh, we'll have to talk more about that. Yeah, well, you know, I sort of think the same way you do. I'd rather get into a blues than some of this hard rock. I just can't growl that way, Gary, over.
Yeah, you're right. I can't do that either. I do, you know, I can do what I can do, and I figure it's good enough for me, you know. So I'm happy, you know. I just like, you know, doing what I do, you know. If it's most of the stuff that I was just thinking about the other day too. I came downstairs here, and we've got the house is all pulled apart because of various projects, and they all ended up down in what is or what was my music room. So I've got all the stuff in the world down here. But I haven't picked up anything in a long time. I haven't played anything in about 6 months, for real, you know. I sat down a couple of weeks ago and tuned up one of the guitars and, you know, plugged it in and played for about 10 minutes, and I said, well, you know, I'm too tired. I'm just gonna go. But I gotta get back and get my practice in, because it's lacking. And like everything else, I need to get back on things that I need to do, whether it's eating right and exercising and putting this foolishness that I just went through behind me, or getting back to you know, playing those guitars. You know, I gotta just say, okay, you know, discipline, discipline. You know, that's going to be one of the items on the list, and making sure that happens. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah. Okay, Gary. Well, you know, it's like our Morse code class: practice, practice, practice. All right, Tiger. Thanks for a great show. Give Stephanie a great big hug for us. Tell her congratulations about climbing to the top of the mountain. And we want to hear more as she proceeds, okay? And good night to you, Gary. KY6V, over.
I sure will do that, and thank you, sir. On her behalf, I say thank you, too. So I will definitely pass that along. You have yourself a great rest of the night and a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to you very shortly. Take good care. And Kathy, too. I don't know if you're out there still, but... Kathy and Paul, and just take good care, and we'll talk to you soon. This is KC2, RML going clear.
KY6V, N1ZXV, real quick.
Hayaku, Menasai, Mushy, Mushy, Mr. Ohio. Go ahead, Rick, KY6V.
Yeah, just thought I'd let you know I did get Skype set up, and yeah, I do see the problem with the mic levels. Had to get it all straightened out. Thought I had it once, and went over to Echolink, and it was all messed up, so I said, okay. So I just unchecked everything, and seems to be working fine. Just a little thought about TVs. My grandparents had a color TV, RCA, probably one of the first ones with remote control, which only had off and on and channel. You had to get up and adjust the volume, but it was done on a Sonic, no battery in the remote. And right at the same time my grandparents got that, we had gotten a Philco portable, which was no more than about maybe about 5 or 6 inches thick. Did not have the big long neck on the back of the tube, but it was a flat type of TV. Just curious if you remember those. KY6V N1TXP.
Yeah, I sure do, Rick. KY6V. I remember the RCAs and the Philcos. You know, I was talking with Gary earlier before we started the net. The first TV set that appeared in my house was a small Packard Bell. The story behind that, my father being in the broadcasting business, brought a TV home when the rest of the neighborhood didn't even know anything about TV yet. And this little rascal had an 8-inch round CRT tube. Black and white, of course. This was about 1948, as I recall. I think we started a little later on the west coast of the United States than you guys did, and the eastern side here. You know, television sort of started with you guys and then increased in popularity as it moved towards the Pacific Ocean. But that's how I cut my teeth. I was telling Gary that when I turned that thing on for the first time, the first program I saw was Kukla, Fran, and Ollie in black and white. But we've come a long way, don't you think, Rick? Over.
Yeah, I think a long way. I still miss the old programs. I remember for some reason my mother would have TV on late and she'd forget to turn it off. And part of the startup in the morning, you heard the tone, and then you heard the revelry. That old bugle revelry kind of woke everybody up. And first thing I'd hear my dad say is, oh, she left the TV on again. So she had to get up and go turn it off, but I remember that, and Star Spangled Banner at the night before the station will go off the air. But yeah, I can remember, I'll tell you, all the kids' shows, the ones that really stick in my mind were My Friend Flicka and Fury, two of the best kids' TV programs that I remember my brother and I used to sit there and watch every episode, every minute. One time we were in Chicago visiting my grandparents, and they had a Flash Gordon episode on. And it ended, and it was time for us to head back to Michigan. So we couldn't see the... I remember it was always like a two-part type episodes. Couldn't see the next one, so we were left hanging like, oh, what happened next? You know, and always remember those good shows. Of course, the programs today, I tend not to watch all the regular shows. I end up watching more of the History Channel, Science. As Kathy probably would say, I somewhat of history in mind. But I always remember history as one of my favorite subjects in school, and never get tired of it. And excuse me, always kind of like those kind of shows more. I have the TV on a lot of times with the Weather Channel or History or Science, but definitely good shows. I got to get out of here. Got to make a phone call before it gets too late. And definitely look forward to the next Nets. KY6V N1TXP.
Very good, Rick. Well, thank you, sir. KY6V here. I won't detain you so you can make that telephone call. But one of your comments there really made my ears go straight up. Reveille, you know, sign on in the morning and so on and so forth. Tell you a quick story about that. When I went into the Navy, boot camp was 13 weeks. And I was out in California, so I went through boot camp in San Diego. In about 2 or 3 weeks of this boot camp, I was saying, this is just not for me. And they had a drum and bugle corps on the base. I went over and talked with the chief, and I said, are you interested in a trumpet player? And he says, well, let me hear how you can play. And I auditioned, and he says, okay. So all of a sudden, I was shifted into the bugle business, okay? And before I knew it, they had me playing reveille at the flag stand. Every bloomin' moomin' morning when I was in boot camp, I had to get up an hour earlier than anybody else had to wrestle themselves out of their rack and stand there going, and that's my story, Rick. See you later. Over.
Yeah, I'll just leave one good one for you. I used to live, when I was in Michigan, lived not too far from an Army base. It was called Fort Custer. And there were times we would get up early in the morning to go fishing at a lake, have to cut through the fort itself, and one morning we were up early, and they were just raising the flag, and they had the bugler out there, and my dad stopped the car immediately and said, get out of the car and stand at attention. And we were all like, what? Couldn't figure it out, but then he explained later what the reason was. He when he was in the service, he was one of the guys he said there was two guys with the rifles, one guy with the flag, and another one that I think was a sergeant and a bugler, and that they had to do that every morning, rain or shine, or no, not rain or shine, only on sunny days. If it was raining in the morning, they didn't bother to put the flag up, but it brought back memories when I heard that reveille, and I ended up having a, on my cell phone, I had an alarm that had the reveille, and I was at a, out in Oklahoma, I was at a severe weather workshop, and I forgotten had the alarm on, and didn't realize the hotel rooms walls were thin, and I forgot the alarm went off with the reveille, and it woke up the guy next room over. All of a sudden, I heard a thump, and I was like, uh-oh. And I heard the guy say, oh, blank. And I found out later he was one of the guys in the service, and he thought he was in his bunk, and he went to jump out of the bunk, and he actually hit the floor. Catch you later, and have a good one. KY6VN1GXP.
Good story, Rick. Thank you for sharing, sir. Yeah, the other side of my story was I got trapped in playing taps at night, too, putting everybody to bed. Got to bed late. Had to get up early. See you later, Rick. Have a great evening, and thanks for being here tonight, sir. KY6V clear.
Well, Gordon, I guess your story is another one of those examples of never volunteer. WQ1I.
Hey, Paul. I don't recall volunteering for that. I think I was demanded or something. This is your post. I just wanted to get out of the normal harangutang of boot camp, and I saw my opportunity, and I walked in and talked with this chief, and he signed me up for the Bugle Corps, but I didn't know what was coming next. Over.
Well, there's the worst kind of volunteering. Volunteering when you don't even know you're doing it. Well, you got out of boot camp. You got into something else. What are you going to say? And the only thing else I can say to you is make sure you get yourself an A-string. Other than that, I'm going back to work here trying to put my room back together. I'm actually going to get to sleep in my bedroom tonight instead of the living room. Good Lord. Good night, Gordon. 73 to all WQ1I. We'll be there.
Yeah, I got to work on that A-string. I haven't even thought about it, Paul. Quick question before you run. I'm a little confused. I thought you needed to have the rug put in the bedroom first, and I thought that was the 19th before you could put the bed in there. But maybe I'm confused. Is the rug going into the living room or what?
No. You just got you got the events a little bit messed up. The rug is in. The rug went in. Carpeting went down yesterday, Wednesday. So the painting had already been done. The ceiling, new ceiling fan was, I put that in. It's still up there. I'm proud of that. And the carpeting went in yesterday morning. The guy was here at 8:30 and he was gone by the time I came home for lunch at 1. So, and that included replacing some of the subflooring boards that were particle board and had gotten wet, and some mildew was growing, you know, mold on there and everything. That all got ripped out and replaced. So that's all done, and the bed is back in out of the living room. Now, what's happening on the 19th is furniture gets delivered. So that's going to include the living room furniture, which they've had now for several weeks, but have been waiting for me to finish in here and get my bed out of the living room. So the living room furniture is coming on Tuesday, along with a dresser for the bedroom and a new headboard for the bed and a night table, too. So Tuesday is a big day, and that'll be it for a while because I'm out of energy and out of money. But then I go for the operation the following Friday, that's the 22nd. But I'll have a nice furnished home to relax and recuperate in. So that's the ticket. I just sent you guys a picture, by the way. So you can see the color, the paint, and the carpet, and the bed in there. It's at least as best as the iPhone can render the color under the artificial light of the ceiling fan there, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm going to look forward to taking a look at that. You know, I couldn't quite place the coloring that you had picked until a picture would follow, so I'm going to look forward to that, sir. Well, okay. What are you planning, Paul? A week or two absence from work after the operation type thing, or what?
Yeah, roger that. I'm hoping it's no more than that. It's supposed to be, at least according to the doc, he said I'm going to need a week off from work. So, and that's fine if that's what it is. I don't know how comfortable or uncomfortable I'll be after that week. But they seem to think that I should be able to go back to work after a week. So we'll see. If it takes a little bit longer, that's fine, too. It won't cost me anything in terms of sick days. It won't even cost me anything in terms of sick days or anything, because we have a policy if you're going to be out for something like this, you know, after the first 3 sick days, they just don't add any more, so. But I'm hoping it's just the week, and then I can get back to work. So we'll see how it goes. But I would say 2 at the most.
Okay, sounds good, Tiger. Well, we'll be with you through all of this, and I'll look forward to the pictures. Thanks, Paul. Good night to you. I'm going to get the devil out of here and go find something to eat. KY6V.
Okay, G. Like I said, I already sent one. I'll send you one more, and that one doesn't have the bed back in there yet, and the but it was taken right after the carpet got put down. It's natural light coming in through the window, and it's really a much better rendering of what the colors actually look like. So your monitors may vary, but at least I know what I'm sending looks closer to it. So the last one you get, that's the one if you want to try and judge the color. Anyway, have a great night, and talk to you later. 73 for now, WQNI will be clear.
Fantastic. Thanks, Paul. Have a good night, sir. WQ1I, KY6V, clear.